You hear a lot these days about how doctor-patient relationships are kind of shallow only because of time. It seems though doctors are so rushed and have to take large volumes of patients in order to be successful. But once in a while, there is a kind of a relationship, I think, that comes up that needs talking about and should be. We're going to talk to Dr. Michael Lockshin about that. He has co-written a book called Dancing at the River's Edge with Alida Brill, who was a patient of his that he has really developed a relationship with. Dr. Lockshin, good to have you with us on the program.
It's good to be with you.
Tell us now how this relationship began.
It began simply when she called my office for an appointment on the recommendation of a colleague of mine that I knew from the town that she moved from.
So that started, how many years ago was that?
Oh, it's over 25 years ago. I don't remember the precise date.
My goodness. And now she has a chronic disease that has really kept her in touch with you all these years.
That's correct.
How did the relationship generate and get to the point where you actually decided to write this book?
Well, there are two questions there. First is that by the very nature of the fact that I deal with people who have chronic illness, it is that the disease doesn't really go away and has to be managed. I got to know her over a long period of time, and she, like many of my patients, became a friend. A friend enough that my wife and I shared dinner with her on occasion. And the book came about because we were in a conversation one day at dinner about communication between doctor and patient. And my wife thought that this would make a good book. Both Alida and I were very much against it at the time. I wasn't very interested in writing that. And she very clearly was not interested in writing about her illness. But the more we talked about it, the more my wife sold us on the idea. We ended up deciding that she was right.
So you began to collaborate on it, and she has the passages and things in there as well as stuff that you've written there as well.
That's right. The book actually was interesting for us because we ended up deciding to write individual chapters about events that we had shared, but one chapter is from her point of view and one chapter is from my point of view, and we go back. And we didn't read each other's chapters until they were completed, and then we both, I think, had these eye-opening sessions which we ended up saying, my goodness, is that what she was thinking? Or, my goodness, was that what he was thinking? And it made us open up a whole new line of conversation.
Yeah, I guess it did. In these kind of relationships, are these common to have these kind of relationships, or is this something special that the two of you developed, do you think?
It's special between the two of us in the sense that she came to this as an academic and as a writer and was interested in the concepts that of communication. It's not special in the relationship between physicians and their patients with chronic illness.
Right, and I understand is that there's a large percentage of people in this country that do have some kind of chronic illness that really affects their lives. So it's really a very big problem, isn't it?
It's a huge problem. The estimates, I think, are that over a lifetime, one out of two people will be affected by some form of chronic illness. And most of us tend to think of medicine as very acute things, an appendicitis, an injury in a car crash, a skiing accident, a heart attack, that sort of thing, things that are of relatively short duration and have a beginning and an end. But that actually isn't the way it exists, at least not in my world and certainly not in Alida's.
Yeah, and these illnesses can be anything, I guess, from arthritis to cancer, whatever, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
So varying degrees of pain and affecting people's lives in different ways.
And that's probably the most important point, that it does affect people's lives, and you have to make adjustments on both sides of the table, on the doctor's side and the patient's side, for managing something over a long period of time. And probably most importantly, and I think in this book, is making certain that the patient's personality, what she's planning to do with her life, that continues on, and despite the fact that she's impaired in some way.
As a doctor, how does it affect you when you see people that do suffer that you're not able to treat maybe as well as you'd like to? Is it frustrating?
sometimes it's frustrating, but there are as many joyful periods as there are down periods. And for every time I have a patient who's not doing well or something bad is going, I have another patient who's scored a huge triumph in her life, one way or another, whether it's a social thing, a marriage, a baby, or something, or writing a book, or almost anything. And while there are always patients who are not doing well, there are always patients who are doing extremely well and well beyond what I anticipated.
So I guess you kind of have to balance that out, don't you, when you're thinking?
That's correct. Actually, there are chapters in the book about that, and that was one of the moments where I had no idea what she was thinking and what I was thinking, because at one point when she was ill, but I had many other patients ill simultaneously, I had mentioned to her that I couldn't attend her at one time because I don't remember what it was, people in the emergency room or something of that nature. And she responded by saying, "My goodness, I never thought of the fact that he has," and she used the term, "a mountain of these cases out there." And I responded in my chapter that I never ever considered it as a mountain. I considered it as individual patients. So I could go from the person in the emergency room to the person who was doing beautifully and to the other person and so on. And I was able to separate that in my life, which I hadn't really understood, and she had never thought of herself. It was the fact that doctors have many other patients as well.
So you really have to be able to, make compartments for the different patients, don't you?
I think so, yeah. And I don't consciously think of it as compartmentalizing, but I think that's what you have to do.
Right, and that's an interesting aspect. And as you mentioned too, you develop kind of personal relationships with this particular patient. So it's kind of interesting. It's social as well as medical. So,
that's correct. And that just happens. I mean, the nature of chronic illness is that it takes place over years, and so it's inevitable that I run into people in one form or another, like socially or I go to their weddings or their births and things like that. I mean, it just happens because there's a lot of time and we're in the same community.
Oh, right, yeah, that's an important aspect of it. And, it seems as though, too, a lot of people are able to manage disease better than others, too. That depends on their particular makeup, too, in a lot of cases, doesn't it?
That's true. And the one of the things that some patients will become consumed by the illness, so that becomes the entire focus of their lives. That is always a problem for me. I like to get them beyond that, so the illness is only a feature that is somewhere in the background.
Well, it's certainly doing yeoman work, and we want to thank you for talking to us, Dr. Michael Lockshin, and an interesting book indeed. My name is Bob Gourlay. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget our website where you can download the program 24/7 or also listen there as well. Just go to the guest page. We'll talk to you again next time.
Our web homepage is issuestodayradio.com, or you can email us at comments@issuestodayradio.com. This is a public affairs presentation.